What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your host. This is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Ready to chop up good game, as I always do. What we're going to do right now, family, we're going to take a very quick commercial break. And when I come back from that commercial break, we're going to chop up game right here on Tariq Elite Radio. What's going on, family? I want to tell you about a brand new book out right now called Black As I Wanna Be from author Ezekiel J. Walker. Now, this book is a much-needed revolutionary response to the police brutality and institutional racism that we've grown to know all too well. Now, the book was inspired by the riots in Ferguson after the Mike Brown murder, and Walker candidly breaks down the game and speaks in a tone that the reader can understand. Very good book, family, and to find out more about the book, check out ZekeWrites.com. That's ZekeWrites.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
What's up to all my Texas people? There's an upcoming event called Taste of Houston. This is where you get to ride a charter bus all around Houston to visit several black-owned restaurants, Jamaican, Nigerian, Sudanese, Ethiopian, Trinidadian, etc., and sample their food. And you also get to patronize black-owned businesses in Houston, like the Black Dollar Store, the Black Grocery Store, the Black Beauty Supply Store, the Black Daiquiri Store, etc. This event is going to happen on two dates, March 19th, 2016, and April 2nd, 2016. Both events start at 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. For pricing and ticket information, go to visitblackhouston.com. Again, that's visitblackhouston.com.
Finally, the lecture tour everyone has been waiting for. Join New York Times best-selling author and critically acclaimed producer of the Hidden Colors film series, Tariq Nasheed, live on the More Us Tour, coming to Miami on Saturday, April 23rd at the Betty T. Ferguson Recreational Complex. Coming to New York City on Monday, April 25th at the Merkin Concert Hall. Coming to Dallas Friday, April 29th at the Hall of State Margaret and Al Hill Auditorium. Coming to Houston on Saturday, April 30th at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. This is one lecture tour you don't want to miss. For tickets, go to www.tariqlive.com. That's www.tariqlive.com.
You need to grow your business with a website that's designed to get results. Blackline Web Design has custom online solutions at an affordable price with satisfaction guaranteed. Go to blacklinewebdesign.com or give them a call at 470-363-5519. They are creative, they are reliable, and they are black owned. That is blacklinewebdesign.com.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership Program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
What's going on, family? Join me, Tariq Nasheed, live in Los Angeles for the first annual Plantation Celebration, a.k.a. the Coon Train Awards. It's going to be happening Saturday, April 9th at 7 p.m. at the Acme Comedy Theater on La Brea in Hollywood. Special celebrity guest judges will be on deck, and we're going to have a very special VIP meet and greet after the main event. Now, seating is limited for the Coon Train Awards, so you want to get your tickets early. Go to www.PlantationCelebration.com. That's PlantationCelebration.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Lord, be with this young man. He need a blessing.
Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, I am hyped and excited, getting ready for the new Morus tour that's popping off July. What am I saying? Not July, but in April. It's late. My whole shit is off right now, but it's in April. The Morus tour pops off April 23rd. We're going to be in Dallas first. We're going to have a ball down there in Dallas. Then we're going up to New York, and that's going to be on the 27th. And also, when I'm in New York, I am going to be on The Breakfast Club, the radio show with Charlamagne, Angela Yee, my man Envy. So I'm going to do The Breakfast Club. I chopped it up with Charlamagne the other day. He called me. Shout out to my man Spoken Reasons. My man Spoken Reasons hooked that up. So I am going to be on The Breakfast Club. I know a lot of people have been requesting that and saying they would like to see me on there. So it is going to pop off. Y'all know it's going to be epic. You will not want to miss it. But we're going to take New York by storm. We'll be in New York probably for a couple of days. So all my New York people, hit me up because we can possibly do some press stuff on Tuesday. I'll be out there in New York all day Tuesday because we were going to fly out to D.C. that day, but we could not get any venues in D.C. A lot of people are asking me, how come you're not going to D.C.? What about D.C.? Man, we tried our damnedest to get a venue in D.C., and there were people who were just really slacking, giving us the runaround. We just couldn't secure a venue in D.C. that was the size that we needed. And you know, to be fair, a lot of the venues were booked around that time, but we'll just have to catch D.C. on the next go round. And I really, really, really wanted to go to D.C. That's why we postponed the promotion of the tour so we could book D.C. But we couldn't postpone it no more because now we have a little over a month to promote. So we just couldn't keep waiting on the D.C. venue to pop off. So we're going to have to get D.C. on the next go round. DC, I tried, but hey, we're definitely coming to Miami. We're definitely coming to New York. We're definitely coming to Dallas. We're definitely coming to Houston. So definitely get your tickets right now at TariqLive.com. It's going to pop off. And yeah, yo, we're having the Coon Train Awards. That's popping. And we're doing that in LA. That's going to be on April 9th. You guys do not want to miss that either. We're going to have a great time. That's on a Saturday at the Acme Theater in Hollywood. We're going to stream it live, and I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do it because I know that the theater has the capability to stream live stuff. So that's why I chose that theater. So it's going to be fun. Now, seating is limited at that spot, so y'all need to get your tickets early. Tickets go on sale this week. That's at PlantationCelebration.com. And it's going to be funny. I'm trying to figure out who I'm going to get as the judges. My man, Zoe Williams, he's going to be one of the judges. We had Corey Holcomb on deck, but this is when we were going to have the Plantation Celebration in Atlanta. We were going to have it in Atlanta on April 2nd, but then we had to change it to April 9th in LA, and my brother Corey couldn't make that, but he really, really wanted to be down. So I got Zoe Williams. I need a couple of other comics to be the judges. So I'm trying to, all my LA comics, man, y'all holla at me, hit me up, email me at kflex4life@yahoo.com. There's a lot of people who are sending me recommendations. And also what I'm going to do, I'm going to have other comics come up and present categories for the awards and all that stuff. But I need some real couple of thorough judges for the actual event. Who's going to judge who gets an award or not. So it's going to be a fun event either way. So you guys, I'm going to be hosting it. You guys are going to want to come on out, and it's going to pop off. So you guys are going to really enjoy it. So So a few things I'm going to talk about today. I'm not going to be on here too long. I'm traveling today. I'm not in LA right now. I'm traveling. I'm on the taking care of some business out of town. And I was out handling business in the city I'm in today. I'm not going to say where I am because, you know, people start wanting to meet up and all this stuff. So, but I ran into a brother. Brother recognized me today and we're chopping it up. And it was a very well-to-do brother. The brother works in government. You know, well-dressed brother, very professional brother. He was telling me about his relationship issue. And a lot of gentlemen go through situations that this brother goes through. Now, this brother was telling me about his wife, who's about to be his ex-wife. They're about to get a divorce. Well, he's trying to get a divorce. And he said, well, hey, man, me and my chick, we've been together for like 17 years, you know, college sweethearts. You know, we got three kids and, you know, now my wife cheated on me some years back. I took her back. Now she cheated again with the coworker, some dude she was working with. She ended up moving the dude in the house after, you know, he left the main guy, the husband. He left. So she ended up moving the new dude in, and he don't like the dude being around his kids. And the baby's mom or the ex-wife-to-be is trying to hit the dude up for child support, and she's filing all types of false claims on this guy. And he's saying that this chick is just making his life a living hell. And he's telling me this, and he's trying to rationalize it and say, hey, man, you know, what do I need to do? What's this about? And I'm letting him know, hey, brother, you got a hood rat for a wife. A lot of cats don't really want to come to the realization that sometimes, niggas, y'all just wiped up a hood rat. The way this dude was describing his ex-wife-to-be, everything about her was hood ratish. He was telling me about her family, who sounded like a bunch of dusty hood rats. All of her actions, this ex-wife or ex-wife-to-be, everything about her was hood ratish. Filing false claims and trying to make false charges against the dude and bringing other niggas to live in the house, co-workers, and she done cheated on him before. She's laying up with different niggas. You got a hood rat, brother. And a lot of you dudes, you have these hood rats who you really don't want to acknowledge are hood rats. See, the thing is, a lot of times when you grow up with somebody, you overlook the hood ratishness because a lot of times you came from where they came from. A lot of fellas do this. Sometimes you marry your high school sweetheart, you marry your college sweetheart. You guys kind of grew up together, but what happens over the years when you are in a relationship or marriage, one person will evolve and another person won't. And sounds like this gentleman that I was chopping it up with, this brother sounds like he evolved. He got himself together. You know, he worked, went to school, got a nice little career going. So he's evolved, but that wife of his is still stuck on that hood rat shit. Because hood rats don't really evolve too much psychologically. See, a lot of people think that being a hood rat is about geography. It's about where you're from or where you've been raised. That ain't it. Being a hood rat is really about a psychological choice. You choose to have this type of ratish, ghetto, hood mentality. That's a choice. So no matter where you take a person with that mentality, they're still going to be hood, ghetto, and ratish. You can give them the lap of luxury and give them all sorts of things. If they have a hood rat mentality, all they're going to do is squander the resources like a hood rat. You can try to get a hood rat and put them in a marriage situation, a stable situation. The hood rat mind isn't designed for stability. It thrives on bullshit, drama, instability. It thrives on that because that's how the system of white supremacy orchestrated that. But again, being a hood rat is a psychological choice. And the thing about being a hood rat, there are so many other people that are there to enable that hood rat mentality. You got a bunch of other hood rat women who will enable that mentality, who you can hang around and who are just as hood ratish as you. And you have a bunch of dusty dudes who literally get erections when they find out a woman is a hood rat. Some dudes, when they hear a hood rat talking and they hear hood rat slang, niggas get erections over that shit. They love hood chicks. And that's the problem. So the hood rat mentality is something that's enabled. So my man, if you try to wipe that up and try to stabilize that, you're just going to get frustrated. And you dudes out there, you're going to have to learn how to charge hood rats to the game. Acknowledge when you have a rat in your life and keep that thing pushing. Stop trying to rationalize rats. You can't. That's like trying to rationalize a white supremacist. If you sit down and talk to a white supremacist, their logic is so thwarted and tainted, they're beyond even trying to logic with. Hood rats are the same way. You can't talk logically to a hood rat because everything with them is driven off emotions. Emotions are like the weather. They change every minute. So one way they're thinking this way, the next day they're thinking that way. And if you're following that, you're going to lose. So you're going to have to learn how to charge the rats to the game, family. But I digress as far as that. Now, speaking of rats, shout out to everybody in Chicago. There's a lot of hood radishness in Chicago, but you have a lot of brothers and sisters in Chicago who are on point. I love Chicago. That's one of my favorite cities. I wish I could have included Chicago on the More Rust tour, but I just couldn't. But we'll get Chicago later on. Summertime is coming. But I got to give a shout out to Chicago because the brothers and sisters, the people of Chicago got together and voted and they got Anita Alvarez's ass up out of office. And now they have Kimberly Fox as the state attorney out there. So shout out to the people for getting Alvarez out there. Alvarez, for those who don't remember, she was one of these prosecutors, state attorneys or whatever, who basically helped cover up the Laquan McDaniel, or is it McDonald? They covered up his murder, his execution, and she was one of the people who helped. And she was another one of those people who helped cops get off from killing black people out there in Chicago. She would do things like overcharge or undercharge cops so that when the cop went to jail, when the cop went to court, the case was thrown out. So this is how these white supremacists would all work with each other. They would mischarge a case so that another judge who was thinking in the same realm of white supremacy would throw it out because it was filed the wrong way. It was the wrong charge. So they had a little scheme going. It imploded on itself. Alvarez is out the door and good riddance. They had a hashtag by Anita. I loved it. And also in Cleveland, they got rid of the prosecutor there too. Timothy McGinty, I think that's his name. Tim McGinty or Magenti, however you pronounce it. They got rid of him. That's the prosecutor who would not prosecute the cops who shot that little boy, Tamir Rice. The people of Cleveland got his ass up out of there too. So shout out to the community who's out here voting locally and making sure these people are getting up out of the game. And shout out to the brothers and sisters out there in Minnesota too, out there in a place in Hennepin County, Minnesota. They voted to have those grand juries removed. So now out there in certain parts of Minnesota, you can't have these little secret grand juries whenever there's a cop shooting. Because see, the white supremacists, they done set up all of this little secret slick stuff that will help other white supremacists weasel out of getting prosecuted and punished for harming black people. So they got these little secret Klan white supremacist grand juries that they allow, and they're gonna start shutting these joints down, which is good. So they shut that down out there in Minnesota. So people voting locally, that's very important. And I talk about that before with my Don't Vote campaign. I always stipulate, I mean vote locally. When I'm saying don't vote, I'm saying don't vote for the the Trumps or the Hillarys or the Bernie Sanders and all that. Don't vote for the Democrats or the Republicans if they're not going to offer anything. You use your vote to vote independent if you have to. Black people need to start pulling out of the Democrat and the Republican parties and start voting independent or come up with our own party and vote locally. Emphasize on voting locally because you get a lot of stuff done, as we see with the removal of Jive Ass Alvarez and Tim McGinty. I hate when I can't, I don't know the real pronunciation of somebody's name. I hate that. Y'all excuse me. Y'all hear I got a little bit of cold here. I had a bunch of children at my house this weekend, and those kids be bringing in germs, so the whole house gets sick. But voting locally is very important, and I was talking on Twitter about my Don't Vote campaign, about how we should not be scared into voting for Trump or Hillary or Bernie. And there was a Hispanic young lady arguing with me on Twitter. She was like, well, Tariq, that Don't Vote campaign is wrong, because if you don't vote, that's just going to allow Donald Trump to win. And I told her, I don't give a damn if Donald Trump wins. And she was like, well, he's racist, and if he wins, he's gonna be so bad, and he's such a racist. And I said to her, black people, we've already been dealing with systematic racism, white supremacy under the Democrats already. Under Hillary Clinton, under Obama, we're already dealing with racism. So what else is Trump going to do? And she kept going on and on. Well, why would you want it to get worse? If Trump gets elected, it's going to get worse for racism. I said, ma'am, how much worse can it get? Black people are getting shot out here like dogs. I kept bringing it back to what's happening to black people, and she kept ignoring that. And some of y'all can see the conversation on Twitter. She kept ignoring that. And that's the thing. A lot of times when you're talking about black issues, all these other so-called ethnic groups, they ignore your shit. They'll deliberately ignore your specific issue. So she kept ignoring what I was talking about because I kept bringing it back to what's happening to black people. And she just went on and on about how Trump is so bad. He has to be stopped. He is such a racist. And I kept saying, well, man, we've been dealing with Trump for years. We've been dealing with this racism. So I'm not voting because it's not going to help. It's not going to get any worse. We've already getting the brunt of Trump's racism. So there's just no need to vote. Hillary Clinton ain't no better. The Clintons were not good for black people. Bernie Sanders ain't really promising anything for black people. So we're going to sit this one out. And then she said what she really wanted to say. She said, well, Tariq, Trump is not just racist to black people. He's racist to us Hispanics too. That's what it really boiled down to. Then I had to check her, because that's what it boiled down to. Now that they're racist towards us, why don't you blacks help us? That's what it boiled down to. And I told her, hell no. If you think that Trump is so racist towards Hispanics, which he is, then why don't you galvanize your community and you all go out there and do something about it? Because what happens is all of these other groups try to use black people as their mules and mascots. And there's a hashtag lately on Twitter that said, not your mule, which is black people telling all of these other groups, we're not going to do all the heavy lifting for you no more. Because that's what a lot of these other groups do. I was looking at this one guy on CNN the other day. He looked like he was kind of a Middle Eastern type of guy. You know, one of those Middle Eastern dudes who can pass. Well, he was on CNN looking real nervous. He was talking about, well, you know, a lot of us are getting real scared of Trump. Trump is getting scary now. So now everybody wants to do the kumbaya thing with black people now. And I say no thank you. because Trump has been racist towards black people for damn near 40 years, and nobody batted an eye. Everybody was cool with Trump until recently. Trump, there's lawsuits against Trump that goes back to 1972 when Trump was discriminating against black renters in his buildings. The Department of Justice had to step in and make Trump stop violating the civil rights of black people by having a no rent policy for black people in the 1970s in New York. Go look up and research what I'm saying right now. This is very well documented. And the lawsuit was not only against Trump's property, they named him in the lawsuit. So Trump was pissed because, you know, usually people hide behind their corporations. They named him in the lawsuit in the 70s. So when people start talking that, well, what did Trump do that was racist towards black? No, Trump, it's very well documented going back to the 70s. We're not going to get into his father allegedly being part of the Klan, because there's an article that goes back to the 1920s where his dad was arrested at a Klan rally. That's something else. I'm talking specifically about Trump and that lawsuit in the 70s that they settled, I think, in 1975. But what happened was the Urban League out there in New York, they would send testers to Trump's buildings. They would send a black person in. The black person would go and try to rent an apartment there, and they would say, oh Lord, we don't have any vacancies. And then the very next day, the Urban League would send a white tester to the same building, and they would offer the white person an apartment that day. And they kept doing this over and over again. So that's that whole Donald Sterling thing. Donald Sterling did the same thing, this rent discrimination against blacks. And what Trump's people did in the 70s, they had a little scheme, a little system going. So if a black renter came in and they saw the application, they were required to put another separate piece of paper with the word C on it that stood for color to let them know not to rent to the black person. It was a real slick, devious thing that was happening at the Trump properties. So again, that goes back to the 70s. And we all know what Trump put out, that full page ad of the Central Park Five, basically demonizing black men in New York. And that helped create that wilding phenomenon in New York, that other super predator phenomenon that they use to harm black men. So Trump's racism, it goes back. It goes back. So now that Trump's racism is directed towards other groups, now people want to jump out and say, hey, he has to be stopped. Well, why weren't y'all trying to stop him when it was directed towards us for the last 40 goddamn years? See, that's my thing. And another thing too, anybody who co-signed Donald Trump, all those people going to those Donald Trump rallies, because again, I've said this before, those Donald Trump rallies, they're nothing but Klan rallies at this point. So all of the people going to these Trump rallies, they're all suspected white supremacists. Anybody who co-signs Trump in the dominant society, just assume that they might be a suspected white supremacist. There's no other reason for them to co-sign Donald Trump. He ain't talking about no hellified policies or anything that's going to help people as a group. The only appeal he has is to other white supremacists, showing them that he can marginalize other groups. What's that white preacher down there in Texas, I think? Joel Osteen? He's trying to distance himself from Trump because people pointed out an interview he did where he was praising Trump. He was like, yeah, Trump is a good friend of my ministry, and he's a good man and a good speaker. So now he's trying to distance himself from those comments. But he said them on video. So I suspect that Joel Osteen might be a white supremacist. I'm not saying he is. And I know a lot of black people love that Joel Osteen dude. He seems like a fucking phony to me. He's always seemed like a low-key suspected white supremacist phony to me. So the fact that he's co-signing Trump, and he was a friend of Trump's, anybody who's a friend of Trump, I just look at you as a white supremacist. And if you're black, I look at you as a coon. And you will probably get nominated for a trophy in the Plantation Celebration Award. But the thing is, with all of these other so-called ethnic groups, they have no problem with white supremacy. See, the problem is with Trump, Trump has tapped into the white extremist movement. And that's where these other ethnic groups have a problem. See, the thing is, they don't have a problem with white supremacy because a lot of them are classified as white. So they can get passes in certain circles and be white supremacists themselves. Just like George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman is a white supremacist. He's classified as white. He's ethnically Hispanic, but Hispanic is not a race. So he's a white Hispanic. That's why they kept referring to him as a white Hispanic. Hispanic is not a race. But he thinks and acts just like a white supremacist. So a lot of people in these little ethnic groups, they have no problem with being white supremacy because they can get allowed and initiated into the system of white supremacy. What they have a problem with are the white extremists. These are the so-called silent majority y'all keep hearing about. Silent majority is just that's a code word that Nixon came up with in the 70s, basically meaning all the quiet white supremacists who run everything in the country. All the quiet little white supremacists who don't make a lot of noise, but they're influential in labor, law, education, sex, war, all of that stuff. These are the people on your school boards, the silent majority white supremacists. These are the people who run the court systems. These are the people who run the jail system. These are the people who run the medical systems. These are the quiet white supremacists who keep everything going by being on code. So whenever you hear the term silent majority, understand that's a code word for suspected white supremacists. So now a lot of these suspected white supremacists are showing their white extremist side. And now all of these other ethnic groups are getting nervous. And now they want to cry foul. Because see, with the white extremists, they'll revoke your white supremacy card if you are not white enough to them. That's the thing. A lot of these white extremists, they look at some of these ethnic groups who are Hispanic, who are Asian, who are Middle Eastern, who pass for white, but then they say, hey, wait a minute. You ain't white enough. You look like an illegal. Watch these code words. Illegal is just a non-white. That's a non-white Hispanic to them. You look like ISIS. You look like a Muslim. And understand, black folks, don't trip on that Muslim word because they're talking about you too. I've always said that the white supremacists use Muslim as a code word for black people. The word Muslim goes a long way, but really they like using it as a code word for black people. Because remember when that white supremacist socked that brother or sucker punched that brother at that Trump rally in North Carolina, that white supremacist said, well, hey, I hit him because I thought he was a part of ISIS. You see that? Now, they know good and well that dude wasn't a part of no ISIS, but it's a code word. Instead of saying nigga, they say terrorist, they say ISIS, they say Muslim, they say thug. So the white supremacists, they're very good on code words. So the thing is, when a lot of these so-called ethnic groups run into a white extremist who's revoked their white card, all of a sudden, these other ethnic groups want to go run and put on a Black Lives Matter t-shirt and say, hey, we need to go out here and fight. And then what happens is they let black people do all the fighting for them while these other ethnic groups sit in the background, twiddling their thumbs, walking around with their picket sign, not getting their hands dirty. So when all the smoke clears, they can go and run and put them lips right on with them white balls. Which is what they wanted to do anyway. They just wanted us to do the dirty work for them and get some things going and get some policies in place. They have us do all that so they don't get their hands dirty. They can get the benefits of the policies that we help put in place, and they can get the benefits of that white dick in their mouths. No, thank you. Hold your own nuts. I've been saying that for the last few weeks. Let them hold their own nuts. We got to stop being the mules and the mascots for these other groups. We've been dealing with systematic white supremacy from these politicians for years. Let some of these other groups deal with it. I have no problem with Trump becoming president at all. It cannot get worse for us. Our children, our mothers, our fathers are getting shot in the street like dogs already. How bad could it be? The other groups are trembling because now some of that hatred and vitriol is getting directed towards them now. See, that's the thing with poison. When you throw poison in the air, it just kind of gets on everybody. That's why you don't let it go in the air at all. See, the thing is, people have allowed the black community to be poisoned, literally and figuratively. Shout out to Flint. And the thing about poison, it seeps onto other people. Other groups start getting affected from that same poison. So now that everybody else is getting the poison of white extremists, now they want to get up and do something about it and put us out there in the forefront. I've seen a lot of these protests around the country at these Trump rallies where there's a lot of other ethnic groups and a lot of white people, majority white and other ethnic groups, but the people who get arrested are black. So my thing is, black people, stop getting arrested for these other groups. You stand up for yourself, you fight for yourself, but don't let these other groups coax you into going out here getting arrested for them. And they use you as the mule. And they get all the props for you getting your ass whooped. Just like Bernie Sanders. He's another one of those people too, who likes to go around bragging about how much he marched with Dr. King. Black folks were getting sicked on, getting dog sicked on him, getting those hose pipes, getting the shit beat out of them, getting hit in the head with bricks. But now you got a lot of these so-called white activists or hippies or whatever who used to be out there in the 60s who did a couple of marches, and now they get all the praise and the glory and the props while the black folks got their asses whooped and shot and assassinated. You dig? All of our great leaders then got assassinated, and all these people out here now, these other groups are sitting around bragging, getting money and glory from that. We got to stop being the mules and mascots for everybody, man. Let these people hold their own nuts. And speaking of the civil rights, this Hispanic girl on Twitter, because we are still going back and forth a lot, and she hit me with something that a lot of people are doing lately, and I find this very patronizing. And I want you black people to check anybody who does this. She hit me up with this. Well, you're only for your people. What would Dr. Martin Luther King say? And I'm like, lady, if you don't stop, and all of these other people, if y'all don't stop using Dr. Martin Luther King's name in vain for your own bullshit. They think by invoking Dr. King's name, that's some type of magic word for black people to act right. A lot of white supremacists pulled that. That dude, Cliven Bundy, did that when he got caught in his racist rant up there in Nevada. He started trying to misquote Dr. King. They start trying to misquote Dr. King to try to talk us into being nonviolent, being docile, and to take abuse from them. I've heard a lot of people in other groups use that. Well, what about Dr. King? What would he say? They love misquoting Dr. King. And whenever they do that, I always bring up, well, Dr. King talked about reparations, so I feel him on that. So where's my damn check? You dig? Don't pick and choose what you want to use out of Dr. King's words, because Dr. King says some real shit besides be nonviolent and turn the other cheek. They love pointing to that, but they love to ignore the reparations part. Always bring that up. I remember in that video in SoCal, when the Klan came out there and the brothers started beating the shit out of the Klan out there, there was a white dude filming. And basically, this white dude was pretty much protecting the Klan, because every time the Klan were really, really, really getting at work, the white guy would jump in there and be like, oh, don't hurt him. Don't hurt him, guys. Don't hurt him. And he was also saying stuff like, come on, guys, don't hurt these guys. What would Dr. King think? What would Martin Luther King think? There's a white guy saying this while the black dudes were beating up the Klan. And this guy was kind of passing himself off as a liberal. He was acting like he was down with the brothers, but basically he was there to low-key protect the clan. Watch these dudes, man. Watch these people who come around you. So this Hispanic chick is trying to invoke Dr. King's name to co-sign her fuckery. Nah. Forget about that. What would Dr. King think? No, worry about your people in your group if you have a problem. What would Julio Iglesias think? You dig? Talk to your own leaders. Hold your own nuts. Stop trying to get us to fight your battles. Stop trying to get us to be your mule. Don't come around us pushing us in the forefront so we can get beat up and arrested for you so you can get all the props. And then after you get all the props, you turn around behind closed doors and put them white dicks right in your mouth and go back to trying to snuggle up under some white privilege. No thank you. Because black people, we've been putting in a lot of work nonstop, not when it's just convenient. We are nonstop putting in work against the system of white supremacy, and all of you Johnny come latelys talking about, ooh, we really got to stop these racists because they're out of control. They've been out of control, especially a lot of Hispanic cats. Because let me say this, I talked about Zimmerman earlier. A lot of y'all Hispanic cats, nobody never repudiated Zimmerman. Nobody in the Hispanic community ever came out publicly and denounced Zimmerman, by the way. I'm gonna just throw that out there, family. Anyway, y'all, I digress. Shout out to my real Hispanic cats out there who ain't on the bullshit. You know who you are. Don't forget, family, the Plantation Celebration Award that's coming up April 9th. We're going to have a good time. Y'all come on out and chop up game with me out here in Los Angeles. The More Russ Tour starts nationwide April 23rd. Go to TariqLive.com. Get your tickets right now, ladies and gentlemen. Go to morerus.com to contribute to the Morerus app that we're working on now. It's going to be out in a couple of months. Go to hiddencolorsfilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. And I will holler at you on Ustream this Sunday. Peace.